Continuing our study and our preaching on the book of Philippians, we look today at verses 9 to 11 of chapter 2 of Philippians. And I would like to read as our scripture reading verses 1 through 11 of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 11, and it's verses 9 to 11, that's the text. Hear the word of the Lord. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the text begins here. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So far the reading of this marvelous, marvelous passage of the Bible. Before we look at this and examine it and apply it, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we look at this marvelous passage, and especially the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may bow in humble reverence, that we may worship and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. O Lord, we pray that You will open our hearts and minds, and that this may truly be a blessed, blessed time for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, last week we saw the humiliation of Jesus, that He became a human being, that He became man, and He humbled Himself even to death, the death of the cross. But now this morning, we see the exaltation of Jesus. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus reigns and heaven rejoices. Jesus reigns, a God of love. The song we'll sing at the end of this, at the end of the sermon is, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall His empire be. Ever and forever shall His name endure. Long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a subject that is inexhaustible. Jesus Christ has received a name that is above every name. Jesus is so glorious. When you read, for example, in Revelation chapter 1, the vision that John had on the island of Patmos, where he had been exiled for his faith. And here he is on the island of Patmos. And if you've ever seen pictures of the island of Patmos, it is barren, it's stark, there's very little vegetation, it's just a horrible place. But here he was exiled there. And on a Lord's Day morning, probably like a morning like this, John is there and he hears something. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard a voice behind me, a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Dressed, now notice his clothing. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His hair and head were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. And now listen to this. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. That is the picture of Jesus Christ and his exaltation. His face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. The sun, you cannot look at it directly, or your eyes will be damaged. The sun makes everything visible. The sun is powerful. Jesus' face looked like the sun in all of its brilliance. That's the picture of Jesus' exaltation. And those who have died in Jesus, they wake up seeing that. This little boy, this four-year-old that was killed in Traverse City, he died there on the side of the road, but he opened his eyes and he saw Jesus. Is this something that you look forward to? This is certainly what John did. John said, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I want to see this. I want to be in your presence. Now, this passage of the Bible tells us about his glorious and victorious reign. First of all, it tells us the reason that he was exalted. The basis of it. Secondly, it tells us about his name that he received. And thirdly, it tells us about the purpose for which he was given all of this glory. So first of all, the basis or the reason why he was exalted to this highest place of all. The first word of this text, of verse 9, is a word which is therefore. Therefore. And whenever in the Bible you read the word therefore, you always have to ask, why is it therefore? What is the meaning of this word therefore? It's a powerful word. It's a connector word. And it shows the relationship between what just went before and what follows. The connector is therefore, and it shows the basis for what you're going to read presently. Therefore, God also highly exalted him. Was Jesus active in that exaltation like he was active in his humiliation? No. It was the Father that acted in his exaltation. He acted in his humiliation. You read, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He emptied himself, and he took on the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on the cross." That was Jesus doing it. It was totally voluntary. No one forced him to do it. Jesus did it out of love. He did it because he loves you and he loves me, and that's why he did it. Jesus said, "I came for this purpose, to save sinners," and we are sinners, and he came to save us from our sins. And I truly hope and pray that every one of us here this morning knows him and knows that he is the only one who can save us. That's Jesus Christ. He volunteered. He went sacrificially. But now, his exaltation, you read in verse 9, "Therefore, because he was obedient even to death, the death of the cross, because of that, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and has given him the name that is above every name." In his humiliation, you read about the two things. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and he became obedient even to death on the cross. In his exaltation, there's two things also. God, the Father, exalted him to the highest place. Second, he gave him the name that is above every name. Oh, what a glorious blessing it was for Jesus. Just imagine it was for him. He had been despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And now he is exalted by God because God approved of what he did. You see, that is what is such an enormous comfort for us. That God accepted what Jesus did. He accepted it. When Jesus went to the cross, God had laid all of our sin on him. And he paid the price of sin on the cross with his own precious blood. Now the question is, did God accept that payment for your and my sin? And we wait and we wonder, did God accept this? And on the third day, Jesus arose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. God raised him from the dead because God accepted his offering. And now there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who believe in him, who trust in him. There's no condemnation because God accepted Christ's offering for you and me. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. He did it. And God exalted him to the highest place because he was obedient to death, even death of the cross. And God gave him an exalted position. Do you know that the word used in verse 9, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place," that that expression here in the Bible, highest place, is one word in the Greek. It's only used once in the entire New Testament, and that's here. And it is a superlative. It's the highest of all highest places. You know, when a believer passes away, they go to heaven. But Jesus, when He was exalted, He was exalted through the highest heaven. He was given the greatest glory, majesty, power, and authority imaginable. He was seated at the right hand of God, given all authority. And when Jesus said at the time of His ascension, He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me." You know, Satan had said on the mountain of temptation, "All these kingdoms have been given unto Me, and I'll give them to whomever I will. And if you bow before Me," He says to Jesus, "I'll give them to you." And Jesus says, "Get thou behind Me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and Him only shalt thou serve." Satan was a liar. He was a usurper. He claimed to have authority. He didn't at all. But our God gave unto Jesus the name that is above every name. He is exalted to the highest place. And He has all authority and glory, power, and honor. And this was God's doing. Now, do you know what? The early church, or the disciples at the beginning, right after the resurrection, they didn't quite get it. The two wayfarers to Emmaus, you remember on that Easter evening, they're walking home and Jesus joins them and they're all sad and depressed. And Jesus says, "What's wrong?" And they say, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what has happened these days?" Jesus says, "You tell me what happened." And they said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, we had hoped that He was the one who would redeem Israel. But here our rulers condemned Him to death." And, you know, it was like all of their hopes are dashed. A huge disappointment. They thought Jesus was going to be the King, that He was going to deliver them from Rome. And here they crucified Him. Their own leaders crucified Him. And so they're dejected and very down. And Jesus says to them, "O foolish men and slow to understand all that the prophets have said." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He showed them how the Christ had to suffer and then enter into His glory. And that the crown only came after the cross. First the cross, then the crown. And then they sat down, you know, to eat. And Jesus broke bread and all of a sudden they recognized Him. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when He spoke to us on the way?" See, they did not get it. Not until Jesus revealed it to them. That the crown which Jesus received of glory only happened after the cross. And that's a terribly important principle. That is an important principle. The crown of glory only after the cross. And so that's why the word "therefore" is there. Therefore God has also exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name. Now let's look at that name. That name of Jesus. That name is powerful. That name. That name gives salvation. That name will equip you against all powers of the darkness. We have to be surrounded by that name. The book of Proverbs says the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We sing about that in this beautiful song. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Listen. All of us are going to have to face death at one time or another. And there may be some who are near death right now. A relative, a mother, a father. The only way to enter into what death is that we've got to be covered by the blood of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is our strength. Take that name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare, every trap. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. That name of Jesus is a shield that will protect us. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our soul with joy when His loving arms receive us and His songs our tongues employ. At the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, King of kings in heaven, we'll crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. That's the name of Jesus. Now let me ask you, every one of you, do you know that name? Yes, you say, I know that name of Jesus. Do you trust in Him? Do you love Him? Do you talk to Him? Are you in fellowship with Him? Can you say in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control. And then to glory afterward Thou wilt receive my soul. Jesus' name is our strength. That's our fortress, the name of Jesus. And then He gives us the purpose. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's two things there. Bowing is worship. Confess is an expression of our lips and of our life. So the purpose is that everyone, and when He begins to enumerate who are all going to worship and all going to confess, it's quite a list. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now we know that in heaven now, all the angels who are there are adoring Jesus Christ, are worshiping Him. And we know that all those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ and are there in heaven as the church triumphant are doing that too. And Revelation tells us the song they're singing. Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive the glory and wisdom and power and honor and blessing. And they're singing that. All of them in heaven. We know that. But what about on earth? Yes, in the church, here we are Sunday morning in the church of Jesus Christ. His name is being exalted. His name is honored in song, in the spoken of the word, in prayer, in fellowship. His name is honored and glorified in the church. What about in the world today? Well, that leaves something to be desired. His name may be taken in vain. That's true enough. And his day is desecrated. His word is not honored. And all of that, that's true. But there's going to be a day coming when even those who pierced him will praise him. That day is coming. It's not here. It's not here right now. But that day is coming when everyone on earth will praise him too. And how about those under the earth? What is that? What is under the earth? Well, that's hell. Will those in hell confess that Jesus is Lord? Will those in hell actually worship him? Is this true, what is said here in this holy Bible? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth? Do you know what? That's the truth. Even the demons in hell eventually will have to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. And even though they do that, they still hate him. And they still curse him. But they know that he is the Lord of glory. And they do it almost like through clenched teeth. But they will ultimately admit that he is the Lord. That day is coming. That day is coming. I certainly don't want to be among that crowd. Do you? We don't want to be among that crowd. Well, today is the day of grace. And the day of grace is actually not very long. It wasn't very long for that four-year-old, I'll tell you that. That was very short. But then there may be someone who is 99 years old or 100 years old. That looks like a long, long time. But even 100 years in light of eternity is a relatively short time. You know what Psalm 90 says. The days of our years are 70 or 80, or if by reason of strength fourscore, 80. Yet is there labor and sorrow, for we soon fly away. Life is not that long. On our clock at home, it says tempus fugit. You know what that means? Time flies. Time flies. Here we are in 2012 already. Here we are almost in August of 2012. Where has this year gone? You look at your children and they're growing up. Time goes fast. What are you doing with your time? Are we on the side of victory? Oh, may God grant that every one of us truly says that this Jesus Christ is our Savior. His name is precious to me. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Jesus, my Savior. Can you say that? You see, those under the earth will say it someday because they got to. But those in heaven and those who love Him on earth will say it because they want to. Is there a big difference between doing something because you got to or because you want to? Do you know what? The difference between got to or want to is between heaven and hell. Those who want to are those who know that name and love Him. And those who do it against their will are those who in their heart hate Him. Where are you all? Where do you stand? Oh, may each one of us truly be able to say, this Jesus is mine, my Lord and my God. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, that He is Lord of my marriage. He's Lord of it. He's the Lord of my relationship with my wife or my husband. He's the Lord of our home. He's the Lord in the relationship between me and my kids. He's the Lord. His will, His word is what's going to guide me. He's the Lord in terms of my pocketbook. He's the Lord. Naked we came into this world, and naked we're going to leave it. All that we have in between is a gift. It's what He gave us, and we are stewards of it. And Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. What happens to them? Thieves break through and steal it. Or the air causes it to rust. Or the moths get in it and eat it up. Doesn't last. It doesn't last. I knew a man who had 5 million shares of a bank in California. He personally owned 5 million shares of a prospering bank. Plus, he owned 25,000 acres in the San Joaquin Valley of California. He was so rich he had no idea what it was all worth. I knew him well. He was a friend of mine. And he was a godly man. But he died. He died. And he was buried. And he could take nothing with him. Nothing. Naked he came, and naked he left. That's it. It's the same with everyone. What we do with what the Lord has given us, will only last so long. Oh, may we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth do not consume, or rust does not destroy, or thieves break through and steal. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be too. That we may confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He rules my life. And your life. And your children. And your business. Your work. And your time. And your talents. And your treasures. Everything belongs to the Lord. And then we can confess with all our heart, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. That's His victorious reign. He's your king and my king. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that we can take the name of Jesus with us. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy in heaven. Fill us with your Spirit. Forgive our sins. Thank you for the glorious, victorious reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.